How dare you ask me to come out and have a coffee?
That's how I feel. I feel resentful, I feel angry, I feel like, oh my God, has anybody got any idea how hard this is for me to manage? I literally don't have an hour spare for 5 weeks. I love all that woo-woo stuff. You can't get too woo-woo for me. My kids always laugh at me, you know, they're ill. They're like, oh, don't ask Mum, she'll get us to like sniff some lavender and roll in some watercress or something.
Well, I impressed myself with how well I managed my mind because...
Oh, well done.
It really wanted to go to really dark places.
It was really hard for you.
And it was hard for you because I think you didn't feel you could voice message me. But I couldn't do it back.
I felt I was like twisting the knife a bit. Listen to my voice.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello, Nikki. Nice to see you. Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening. Well, we have had a little bit of a gap, haven't we, Nikki?
A bit of a gap.
So this is just, we thought we'd stick a podcast out, an episode, just to explain why we've had a bit of a gap and to explain that actually we're going to be taking another gap. And we're going to aim to be back in February.
Or maybe March.
Yeah, but we did want to catch up with you all and bring you up to speed on where things were and why we've had a bit of a gap. And it, because I guess it is quite ADHD related, isn't it?
Well, it always is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to separate these things. So do you want to explain your side, Nikki?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I had a very strange occurrence, as Carrie knows only too well, in that I basically lost my voice for a month, which sounds quite funny, but it really wasn't. It was one of the scariest few weeks of my life. And it was annoyingly and frustratingly and upsettingly because I was trying to look after myself with a device. And I'll decide whether that shall be nameless or not. I'm going to say it now and I'll take it out if I don't want it in there. Pulsetto, which for some people is absolutely fine. For me, it wasn't. It's a vagus nerve stimulator to help you deal with stress. That's the idea. But the instructions told me to use it to comfortable tolerance, which I did. And I got back from singing one night. Now, singing, to be fair, is a vagus nerve stimulator. So if you want to calm down, singing is a good way to do it. So we were singing all night at rehearsal, all evening. And then we were singing in the car on the way home, along with the radio. And then I got home and I used the device. And about half an hour later, it goes around your neck. So it's close to your vocal cords. And about half an hour later, I suddenly felt like I'd swallowed razor blades. And I couldn't speak. And I literally couldn't speak the next day. Went to the doctor a few days later and I just assumed it was a cold. 5 days later, I've got no other symptoms, just this throat. And I'm thinking, this is a bit weird. And I was using the device when I was thinking this and I suddenly thought, oh my God, this is before I went to bed. I thought, oh my God. So in the end, I went to the doc, managed to get a quick appointment the next day, who happened to have an ENT doctor with her who was doing his rotation. He'd just done an ENT rotation, so it's ear, nose and throat. And he said, yes, it does seem extremely likely it was this device because of the sudden onset, the fact that there's no other symptoms and the fact that you were using the device as it happened. And he said, 6 to 8 weeks total voice rest.
Wow.
And I'm, as we know, a coach and rely on my voice.
And a talker.
A talker, yes. And a number of things came out of it that were interesting. One of which, well, I couldn't do the podcast, so hence the gap. I also didn't feel very well. The whole thing, I just had this kind of malaise.
Was that related to the fact that you felt, you know, emotionally you felt bad because of losing your voice and the worry and everything?
I think so. And I think there was some stuff in my head as well to do, literally in my head, in my neck and so on. So I didn't feel quite right. My glands were up.
Okay.
Did they get worse? I don't know if they got worse, but they were up. But I didn't have nose or chest symptoms that you'd have with a cold. And it went on for weeks.
Gosh.
And I couldn't go for a walk with my buddy in the village. I couldn't talk to you. I couldn't talk to any of my friends. I couldn't go singing. I couldn't even go to chorus because I couldn't trust myself. Well, I did. I think, did I go once or twice?
I think you went twice.
And it's the temptation to talk or whisper, which apparently is really bad for your voice anyway, was just, it was awful. So couldn't coach, lost that deep sense of connection with my coaching clients. There's also some worry about, you know, not being there for them, responsibility bone waggling, all sorts of things. But actually, it was interestingly, given the title of our podcast and our recent one, it was that loss of sense of connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really tricky. And actually, the whole way through, I was terrified that it wouldn't come back.
So, spoiler alert, Nikki's got her voice back.
Yes. I can't tell you. I went to see a kinesiologist that I see regularly. And she said, now I'm a polarity therapist, all right? So it's allied with massage. And so I know about chakras and I know all this and I've got a qualification in it and everything else. But she was saying that my heart and throat chakras were off to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And my critical brain was going, yeah, right.
Oh.
But when she did her bit, I could actually feel things shifting in my chest and my throat. It was really amazing. And I walked out of there and the next day I was 50% better.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. So thank you, Sari.
I love all that woo-woo stuff. You can't get too woo-woo for me. My kids always laugh at me. You know, they'll say, if they're ill, they're like, oh, don't ask Mum. She'll get us to like sniff some lavender and roll in some watercress or something.
Yes. So thank you for that injection of levity. It was much needed.
No, I mean, it was really hard having seen you over that time and
yeah.
Texted you because you couldn't. We normally, oh. Nick and I normally voice message each other.
Yes.
Neither of us can be bothered texting because it takes too long.
Very ADHD.
But obviously, Nikki couldn't voice message. And it was, you know, I'm making a joke out of it. Now it's all okay.
I'm quite
but
right
it was,
too.
It yeah. was really hard for
yeah.
you.
And it was hard for you because you didn't, I think you didn't feel you could voice message me because. Because I couldn't do it back. I think we crossed that bridge and it was fine.
I felt I was like twisting the knife a bit. Listen to my voice. Yeah, it just seemed a bit harsh. So
no, it was fine. It was fine. It was lovely.
So did you notice a big difference then when you were able to come back and talk to everybody connection?
Oh, yeah. My God. Do you remember that night when I got back to the chorus and we have our little good news section?
Yeah.
And I just went, hello?
Yes.
And everybody sort of clapped and cheered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially me. Yeah. No, it was lovely. I like to think I have a lot of gratitude anyway. I always have done. Even when I was 12, I was grateful for living by the river in Maidenhead, you know, sitting on the bus and looking, how beautiful is this as a 12-year-old?
Yes.
And so to be that, well, two things. I was underneath, I said terrified earlier, that's not too strong, about the concept of losing it. And I do have two dear friends who haven't been able to sing for about 5 years. So it does happen. And this was talking as well. But I did, you know, we talk about things we've learnt in the last few years and how we've progressed. And we're all, you know, we're work in progress still, but there's been a change. Well, I impressed myself with how well I managed my mind because...
Oh, well done.
It really wanted to go to really dark places.
Yeah.
And I just kept pulling it back and thinking, given that we don't know, let's assume the best. So it kind of got me through. So that's where we are now.
Mm. We used to call it Don't Run Down Black Alley. And Black Alley was that sort of, you know, dark place that you would go to. And, you know, when my late husband was really ill, it was, he was always like, hang on, just step out of Black Alley. And I think, especially for those of us with ADHD, when we feel our emotions are so huge and can be so big, it's very hard to just put them in the background or diminish them in some way. But I think it is important to remember that there is that link between thoughts and feelings, and that you might get sort of a sucker punch in the gut emotionally and worry about something, but we can control what our thinking is about to a degree.
Absolutely.
You know, even if, and we've talked about this before, even if it's through acknowledging, actually, this is how I'm feeling and I'm going to name it and I'm going to let it be and accept it. Or by saying, right, actually, that is not a helpful thought. That is not a useful way to be thinking. So I am going to think about something else, a sort of bit of brain training. We do have that control and that choice to make, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, it's what we focus on. We can choose what we focus on, even if we don't feel we can. Mm. we can.
Absolutely.
It's a skill, isn't it? It's a skill that we can learn.
100%.
It certainly doesn't come naturally.
Not at all.
It doesn't come naturally to many ADHDers, I would say, including me.
No, I would agree, but it is something you can train yourself to do. I remember when my late husband was really ill and somebody said to me, how do you just keep going? How do you focus? And I said, and I used to use the phrase, it depends where you cast your gaze. And actually, you can choose to metaphorically look at all the dark, negative, sad element, or you choose to cast your gaze elsewhere and you look at the positives. Or if there aren't positives, you look at what other bits there are. And there is always something. And, you know, because I still fall into that myself. But it's that reminder, isn't it, that actually, hang on a minute, notice you're doing it and then take some action about it.
Yeah. I've just got this image of, or this thought that when you're either meditating or trying to, they say if a thought comes in about, I don't know, the washing or the shopping list or that's something you've got to do later, it's a little cloud floating across the sky, a little white cloud, and just let it go.
Yeah.
And let your mind come back to what you were, you know, your breath or whatever it is. And it's a bit like that with the focus, isn't it? We're not going to be able to do it 100% consistently, mostly because, you know, hey, ADHD is consistency. It's tricky.
Yeah.
Persistent, yes. Consistent. Trickier. So it's allowing for the fact that we're not going to be 100% on it and we're not always going to be able to do it. But even if we fall off the wagon slightly in terms of where we're putting our mind, we can think, oh, okay, let's just go back, reset. And I've been working with my American clients on doing just that because of the result, shall we say, of the election. And distraught isn't too strong a word. And just on refocusing. And one of the things that helped them was I said, you are not alone. Many people in the world are feeling this, but it's what we do with it. It's what we allow our minds to go to. And it may never happen. The things that we're fearing may never happen. Who knows? We don't know. We have things that suggest that they might, but we don't know. And let's just focus on our minds being in a good place so that we can be resourceful.
And it's about things you have control over and things you don't have control over.
Exactly. We have no control over that at all.
No, none at all.
So that's all about me. What about you? What's been happening for you in our little gap?
Well, I think that's really links in a way with what we were just talking about, but maybe from a slightly different angle. So I've been very, 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 very busy. Now, I'm always very busy. I am. And if I'm not busy, rather than going, oh, brilliant, I seem to involve myself in more and more and more things. So I end up busier and busier and busier. Huh. So since we did the last podcast, I've started working as part of, as well as my coaching, an ADHD assessment team. And now autism assessment team. So I'm now qualified to administer part of the autism assessment and do the ADHD assessments and write the reports.
Hold on.
Oh, thank you very much.
Little ripple.
So lots of training.
Yep.
But it's just gone boom. And the number of people, obviously people know about the waiting lists in the NHS. And so the number of people who really need and want an ADHD diagnosis is huge.
Yes.
And although we've started, it's a sort of new branch of the business that's long established with a colleague of mine. It's sort of taken off. And as with all things new, getting it right, and we're very, very, very committed to doing everything brilliantly and getting all the quality right and the reports really thorough and all the rest of it. But it's just been a lot to take on board. So that's one thing. But also I'm busy in my private practice with my clients anyway. But then, of course, I'm training for the London Marathon. I am fundraising. So I'm involved in organising lots of fundraising events to raise the money to pay for the London Marathon. I've got children and family of my own who have varying degrees of needing mum for various things, even my adult children. it all just got to the point when it was a lot. And it was my husband's big birthday. So we were going away to New York. So I was trying to plan that.
Yes.
And it just, everything sort of concertinaed up and became...
chorus stuff.
Oh, yes. I was sitting at home one Thursday. Where was I? Oh, I was at an awards dinner.
Yeah.
My one glam moment of the year. It was quite funny, actually. I put a photo of me in my going to an awards night glossy thing.
I remember.
And so many people wrote, oh, my God, I've never seen you in anything other than running gear or, you know... at the gym, because lots of people I know through running club or anything else, people are like, oh my God, you actually scrub up okay.
Scrub up well.
Which is quite funny. But that is a real reflection on quite, I don't, you know, I'm not saying I look stunning, but I just look better than I normally, when people see me, I look pretty rubbish. I think it's...
hang on. Barbie.
Oh yeah, sporty Barbie. And this was glam awards Barbie.
Yeah, now this is glam. Yes. As mentioned.
Honestly, for one night only, normal service completely resumed the next day. But I was at this awards night, and I should say I wasn't nominated for award, but a client of mine was, and they'd invited me because I supported them.
Mm.
And I got this text through, made the mistake of looking at it, which basically said that the competition that we're singing in May next year, that our chorus is singing in, all the accommodation in this town in Sweden seems to have already been booked and we need to get on it now. So suddenly I had a weekend to try and find accommodation for 50 people in a hotel in Sweden. And that was very stressful.
But you did it.
I did do it. But all of these things just got to me. Mm. And they're nice things as well. And I think it's really important to acknowledge how people talk about overwhelm, and they'll often talk about it in terms of I'm working too much, I'm staying up too late, you know, I'm overwhelmed because of my, you know, my job, my kids, finances, whatever else. I get overwhelmed by nice things too.
Mm.
And when I was chatting to Ben about it, he said, the thing is, you know that saying, all roads lead to Rome.
Mm.
And he said, it's like, all connections lead to Carrie. And he said, everybody wants a piece of you for something,
mm,
in a nice way. But I've got friends in lots of different groups. So I've got the football mums, I've got my running friends, I've got my chorus friends, I've got my school friends, I've got my old mum friends from when we had kids together. And,
mm,
and everybody wants to meet up. And I go, oh yeah, that'd be lovely, that'd be lovely. Mm. And then people want to meet me for coffees, mm, and things like that.
And you don't want to miss out.
And I don't want to miss out. I genuinely love seeing all of those people. But I got to the point where I was out, you know, I'm out during the week a couple of nights because I had choir and running club. But then I was finding myself out on a Friday night, and then I was out on a Saturday night, or somebody wanted to meet up for me for coffee, and I run on a Sunday morning. And it was just like, I'm never in. I never see my family. You know, I felt I am in and I do see them, but it just got to that point.
Mm.
And I notice the signs now. And the most telling sign is when a friend messages me and says something like, do you want to meet up for a coffee? Or if a group chat goes, how about we all do this? And I feel angry.
Angry?
Angry.
How interesting.
Which is really not how I would, if I'm well and fine, I'd be like, oh yeah, brilliant.
Mm.
But I feel...
how dare you ask me to come out and have a coffee?
That's how I feel. That is how I feel. I feel resentful. I feel angry. I feel like, oh my God, has anybody got any idea how hard this is for me to manage? I literally don't have an hour spare for 5 weeks to see you.
And who are you angry at?
Them.
How interesting.
For asking me. And that's not fair. I'm not in any way suggesting this is...
No, I know you well enough to know that's not what you really mean, but it's your reaction.
But that's how I feel when somebody does that. And that's the sign now that I recognize it, that I am tipping into meltdown and overwhelm.
Yeah.
And I have to take action. And I was out walking my dog one morning and, well, actually a few mornings, and found myself getting really tearful. And one of the days I phoned a friend, because I also found it hard to, I really find it hard asking for help.
Mm.
And so I found it hard. And part of me thought, oh, and, you know, I'm an ADHD coach and I help people with their well-being. And here I am crying in the woods, completely overwhelmed.
Mm. Is there a should going on?
Yes. Yeah. If I tell people, that makes me a complete fraud and a fake. And who am I to coach other people? But my friend was brilliant and metaphorically gave me a bit of a slap and said, sort your shit out. And that was really helpful. She was really, obviously did it beautifully, yes, and kindly and gently.
Yes.
But
yes, yes,
ultimately said, well, what are you going to do? What action are you going to take?
Mm.
And it did prompt me to take actions. And I think this links into, you know, something we've talked about, which is that sort of self-care and that discipline that you need. Because I think, I know lots of people do this, but it's a real ADHD tendency on two parts. One, to reach out and want to do everything.
Mm.
But the other is also that you need time to I need downtime. I need regulation. I need space.
Mm.
And so it's making those adjustments. It's, for example, saying, I'm not taking any more bookings now until January.
Mm.
And then I have to manage it. Or, you know, I was meant to be having, well, I forgot. I'm meeting up with a group of friends tonight. And I said to Ben, I might not go, and looked in my diary and realized I'd offered toast, which makes it more difficult not to go. But they're lovely people. So I messaged and I just said, guys, I can't host. Everything's crazy. I can't host. Can someone else host? And of course somebody went, yes, there's no worries, come round to mine.
Mm.
And I might pop in for an hour or two.
How did you feel about sending that message?
Do you know what? Fine, because I'm now post meltdown and metaphorical slap from friend. And it's part of my self-care now.
Yes.
And that discipline of it is, rather than going, oh my God, right, well, I have to take this on, is vocalizing that and saying to someone, do you know, guys, I can't do it. And of course, people are lovely.
Mm.
And it's okay to say, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I will pop out and I explain to them how busy I've been. I mean, they're all busy. I'm not saying I'm the busiest person or anything else, but I can't manage it.
Mm.
Very well.
Mm.
And it's because I'm busy all day and I'm busy in the evening and I'm busy at weekends.
Mm.
There isn't that regulation time. So tomorrow evening, I'm really looking forward. It's the first Saturday in about 6 weeks that I'm in. And I cannot wait to be in my pajamas by about 7 o'clock watching Strictly.
Or just stay in them all day.
Now I've got to take my son to football.
And?
He might object.
Depends on the pyjamas.
I did pick him up from a party the other day in my pyjamas, but I didn't have to get out of the car, but I might have to at football. But yeah. Sorry, I really rambled on then.
That's all right. We like a bit of rambling.
Yeah. So that's why for me, I said to Nikki, I just can't fit in the podcast. I need to have a bit of a break.
Yeah. Well, we had a chat and I was feeling the pressure of getting it done.
Mm.
I think I mentioned it in the last one we did put out. And basically, it's been a year of an immense learning curve for me.
Yeah, it really has been.
And I was already au fait with Photoshop and stuff, and that helps you understand layering sound, although Photoshop's pictures. And I'd already done quite a lot of using GarageBand for years. So I kind of knew some of it, but I didn't by any means know all of it. And certainly not the intensity and how much time it's taken. We're going to try something that I tried by accident the other day, which is using the platform that you use does a sort of composite version rather than you don't have to have the two separate ones, tracks, you can use a composite. So I thought I'll just try it just to see, you know, and it was really good. So we're going to hope that that works this time because that cuts the time.
Well, that makes such a difference to your work, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly. So I was more than happy to delay. I think both of us were. We looked over the edge and thought, do we want to stop? And then we thought, no, because people feedback that they really love it. So let's carry on. And we do too. So just to bolt on a bit to what you were just talking about, I had one of those aha moments recently when I can't even remember what I was doing now. When I sent you the note on our little WhatsApp thing about podcast thoughts, it made perfect sense. And I looked at it this morning. So I'm like, surprise, surprise. I can't remember what the detail was, but I was scheduling something. I don't know if it was a course. a first aider's course. That was it. So a mental first aid health course thing, a weekend course. And I was going to schedule it in. Oh, and I've just realised something else. The universe is looking after me because I was going to schedule it in. I got to the screen where it was only, you know, it wasn't very expensive, 20 quid or something. And I was just going to do it and put it in my diary for a couple of months' time. And then I thought, I'm just going to go and have a cuppa. And I came back in and I looked at it and I thought, no, I'm going to do that in the new year. And it was a revelation, just because something's shiny and exciting doesn't mean you have to do it now, Nikki.
No.
And you know what? I've just had a small operation, which is the other reason there's been a delay. And it would have been that weekend that I couldn't do. Or one of the weekends that I couldn't do. So it worked out for the best. I've just realised that.
Yeah.
But it was that, oh, I don't actually have to do this now. Oh.
Yeah. But, and that's so against how we feel. It's like, I want to do everything now.
Yes. Well, I've got the enthusiasm and I want to book it now. And I thought, if I'm meant to do this, if it's good for me to do it, the enthusiasm will still be there in a couple of months, whatever it is, 3 or 4 months' time, and then I can do it then.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that sort of ties in with what we're doing here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're aiming to be back in February.
Yes.
So we're doing a quickie update here. Our chorus, we've mentioned it a few times. We've done all these competitions over the last year, especially going to international and the UK and Netherlands competition. For those who don't know, we won an international silver and then we won gold in the UK, which was great. And as a result of that, we're now going to Sweden, which is what you were talking about earlier, having to organise the hotel.
Yes.
So that was all very lovely. But the interesting one was the silver, and it's the third one we've won, the third international silver. And we previously come second by 4 points, which sounds quite close until you know that it's 1,270 something, I think it was. So that's really close.
Yeah.
And then this time it was even closer. It was 1,290 versus 1,291.
Yes.
So I was a bit gutted about that, especially as my brain was saying, third time lucky. And it was so close. I mean, it was the Nats. But it was interesting because there was a sort of coaching mindset thing that came out of it for me, because I was working on this, as you can imagine. I was using the havening approach that I use and all sorts of things to deal with my emotional response to it.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Mel Robbins and she was talking about the bronze medal attitude, which is something that occurred to me before, which is a lot of people winning a silver medal at the Olympics and so on this summer, for instance. A lot of the silver medalists, especially if it's in a playoff match like in rugby or hockey or something, so you get through to the final. If you come second, it's gutting because you've just lost a match.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in the playoff for the bronze, you're either going to be third or fourth. And so you're ecstatic if you win the bronze medal.
Yeah.
And I thought that's really, really interesting. As I say, it had occurred to me already during the Olympics. And I just thought, yeah, so can I sort of bring that to the party for this? And it has helped.
So how do you apply that? What does that look like?
It's a mental reframe. It's seeing something from a different perspective. It's a bit like I was talking about the American clients this week with what's been going on over there. It's allowing for the fact that something can be seen from different perspectives. It's not necessarily that you have to view it from the narrow perspective that you're seeing it from. It's mental gymnastics in a way, and it doesn't always work. But if you find the right one, the right reframe, and I'm sure you do this with your clients and I do too. So sometimes we might just ask a seemingly simple question that helps them completely reframe their whole attitude to a situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I was watching Couples Therapy, which is on the television on iPlayer in the UK on the BBC, and it's a brilliant American programme where it's actual couples having therapy and they follow four couples through a series, and it's on the fourth series and it's the same therapist. And she was just working with a guy who saw a situation where his partner always seemed to put his family first. And she said, there are other options, because the partner's niece was coming round. And so the partner had cleared up the flat and they'd been living in the flat for 2 months and he hadn't cleared it up at all. So it felt to the partner in question that the other partner was doing this clearing up for the family when he didn't do it for him or for them. And she was saying, you know, that's your story that you're telling yourself. Doesn't mean it's true. There are probably 100 other perspectives that you could be bringing to this. And he was really pushing back and saying, no, it's the truth. It's real. Blah, blah. And by the end of it, she'd helped him realise that actually it was his perspective and there were other options. She gave a couple of other options that it could have been why, you know, it could have been that she had particular needs, this niece or whatever it happened to be. There were other things. And it's very much about stepping out, you know, you're talking about the zooming out and zooming in.
Mm.
It's the zooming out.
Right.
And being able to look at things from a different perspective that can make an emotional difference to us.
Mm. Yeah, getting a bit of context. And I think we often forget that sort of everybody has stuff going on.
Mm.
You know, generally speaking, most people, well, it's the one of the tenets of NLP, isn't it? That you have to assume that everybody's trying to be their best all the times.
And yes. And was it an unconditional positive regard?
Yes. Yeah, I think that is important, that people are trying their best. And I don't know where we're going with this, actually. I was just at that, I'm joining this conversation, but I don't, you know, yeah, I agree, I think is what I wanted to say.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
That was very interesting, and I agree. And I obviously felt the need to contribute, and then thought, I'm just going to shut up.
That's a bit like in a quiz game where somebody's asked a question, they press the buzzer, and then they go completely blank, and they don't know what they were going to say. One other thing that did occur to me is, do you remember in our very first episode, do you remember? Well, you might do. Do you remember in our first episode we were talking about just stop? And I wandered back to look at the butterfly.
Yes.
Remember me saying about that on my walk?
Yeah.
Well, something that happened to me recently was I had to go to the doctors, and we have two surgeries, one in the village and one in a nearby village. And of course, whenever I'm going to the one in the nearby village, I always turn up at the one in our village because I forget that it's at the other one. And then I have to go screaming up there in the car. So anyway, this occasion, I wasn't doing that. And I parked and I went into the doctor's and I came out and I looked up and I thought, I don't have to go back and trudge up and down the hill that I normally do for my walk. I could just go here. And it looked pretty flat. So I thought, oh, well, you know, I probably won't get the hill, but never mind. Do you know what? It was one of those wonderful spontaneous things where, because I just reassessed things rather than sticking on my train tracks and habits and so on. And I went on this walk and it was absolutely delightful. It was like being in the countryside. It was very similar to the walk I was talking about on that first episode. Out in the country, and there was sort of tractors and sheep and goodness knows what. And there was a hill. As I say, it was even better than my local hill. There were no car fumes. And it was just beautiful, to the point where I've decided, well, I have done. I've been up there several times now. I've driven there specially to actually go and have a walk there rather than doing it here. And it's just good to step outside what we normally do, which, just to pull this back to what we're doing now, which exactly what we're doing. We're stepping outside and we're going to take a bit of a break and come back refreshed and renewed. But I just felt rejuvenated on that walk. And it was literally, it was a split second. I had, you know, the car door open and one foot in the footwell, and I was about to get in. And I suddenly thought, oh, I'll just go see what's around the corner.
I could do this differently.
Yeah. And it's so good to actually step outside. And especially if we do have trouble, as ADHDs, lassoing our minds and fitting into structures and trying to stuff everything into our lives. So literally just stop and think, oh, I'm going to do that instead. So it just reminded me of the butterfly story.
And I think that links back to, you know, that self-care, and it links to that, whether it's reframing the bronze medal position. But the one thing that I try and ask myself is that good enough? It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be brilliant. It just has to be good enough.
Mm.
And is this good enough? And what does good enough look like for me? And I work on that with clients, especially clients who really struggle with perfectionism.
Mm.
You know, they might be writing a paper, or even it can be things like sending an email, and they will just go over and over and over and over and over it. And it's like, okay, decide, tell me three things that would make this good enough.
Mm.
And they're like, well, it's all spelt properly, or it, you know, it gives the intent that I want, and it's, the tone is polite. So if you've got those three criteria, it's good enough, send it.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
And I think that's important. And it, you know, it's like fitting those spontaneous moments in.
Mm.
You might have in your plan, well, I have to walk up this hill and it has to be from here. But actually, you get this lovely spontaneous moment and it's not quite fitting in with the what you normally do, but it's good enough and actually can end up being better than. Yeah.
It was better. Absolutely. And that's the key. So do you use your criteria of three?
Do I use it?
How do you assess you're good enough? Great face for the listeners. I'm not sure I can describe that face.
Well, I don't have a problem with perfection in terms of writing like emails and things like that. I'm almost the opposite. I shoot from the hip and then think, oh shit, I should have put that in and this in. So I'm the sort of person who sent an email and then sends the follow-up email that says, and I also meant to say blah, 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 blah. So yeah. And I think for me, it's things like the one place that I am really particular about, I'm sure a psychotherapist would have something to say about this, is the kitchen. And it's my work surfaces in the kitchen.
Oh, the crumbs. The crumbs.
Oh, my God. I've even recently, I invited Ben and my son to a little workshop where I would model, and I did. I said, thanks for coming to this brief but informative workshop. This is how, you know those things that you put in your sink that stop they sit in the plug.
Like a little cage.
Yeah. And you either push them right down and that means that you could fill up the sink, or you pull them slightly up.
Yes.
Oh, well, you know, and I know, apparently no one else in my household knows. So they will just leave it lying in the sink or askew in, so it doesn't do anything other than clog up the sink.
Yeah.
Honestly, Nikki, I want to kill them. It drives me mad. It's like, why can you not do this? So that was in the tutorial. Yeah.
Did they have a certificate of attendance?
They didn't. I wish I had actually, because it worked for a while. Now they've forgotten. So I could bring that out and say, look, you know, you attend to this.
Yeah. You could just award it to them just to remind you that you are the proud holders of this. Yeah. Yeah.
So things like that, and just how to wipe down a work surface, and that wiping down a work surface is not the same thing as just brushing some crumbs on the floor.
No. Even in the hand is better on the floor. I never quite understand that one.
Yeah. No. I mean, we have a dog. So to be fair, they probably get hoovered up off the floor. But no, I mean, things like that, they really bug me. And so I have learned good enough is actually, my son loves cooking. And actually good enough for me is that he has done his washing up. He's put things away and he's put the ingredients away. And I don't have to wash up or clear up after him. And so I've let go of, I have to wash the work surface down or something like that. That's just, because I realise that's my little kink rather than essential. So I suppose in those terms, and it makes me feel, otherwise I honestly would walk into the kitchen and just be like, oh, for God's sake, every single time.
Yeah.
So it makes me feel better. It's good enough. He's done all his washing up. He's put all the stuff away. That's fine with me.
So is it being grateful for small to middling size mercies? Yes, the bronze.
I got into bronze medal position. Fourth place is there's still pots and pans out.
Yeah. Well, he could be 10th, or he could not have even qualified for the Olympics. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, that's where we started. Yes. Yeah. So I will settle for bronze medal position.
Oh, bless.
So, as always, it's been really good to catch up.
And you.
And were you going to say more?
No, I was going to say, shall we stop and say thank you to everybody for joining us over the last year. In fact, it is coming up to a year. We actually started in August a year and a bit ago, but I think they went live in January. So it seems like a nice place to leave things for the time being. I'm crossing my fingers that the... Okay, so here's the disclaimer. I'm crossing my fingers that the new improved way of doing the editing will be good enough. So it may not be quite as honed as previous ones, but at least it will mean that it can continue. So
yes.
So wishing you all a lovely Christmas, and you, Carrie, and I'm sure I'll see you next week. But I think that's all for now.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, everybody, on this journey. It's been brilliant having you all along and having really lovely messages and emails from people saying how much it's struck a chord with them. And, you know, that's been really great.
Yeah. Relatable is a word. Relatable is the word we get a lot. So going back very briefly to what you said about, what were you saying?
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not even going to go there. If it's important, it will come up again. I think that's a good way to finish because it just sums it up, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, it's about being perfect and everything else.
Yes.
When you're upset out on your dog walk and you were saying that, you know, I'm a coach, I'm supposed to be able to do this. Well, I think anybody who's listened to the last 15 episodes or whatever it is, I think it's fairly obvious that we're quite happy to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it's all, everything we learn helps us be better coaches anyway. So it's understanding the trickiness of all this that helps us do what we do.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to stop wittering now. Carrie, you have the last word for now.
Goodbye from me. I haven't got anything more original or exciting to say now. But yeah, thank you for joining us, everybody. And we will see you hopefully back in February.
Or maybe March.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for joining us on our ADHD journey. If you can spare a sec, a review or ranking would be hugely appreciated by us. 5 stars would be marvellous, but whatever you think. Every single one really does help. As well as on your favourite app, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at theadhdconnection_podcast. So we hope to see you on there. Thanks again for listening, and bye for now.